Let me take you back to April 2007. Perhaps some of you were born, a great day of celebration, no doubt, but a great day in my memory too, as DUHC, Durham University Hockey Club, won Bucks. It was amazing. We beat Loughborough. Hockey had consumed our lives at university, training, leagues, cups, and now Bucks. We were the champions. And you could look more excited for me. It really was. It was great. We were the champions. We had top-level hockey and graduate lives ahead of us. But within 3 years of that day, within 3 years of leaving at Durham, two girls who I'd played with there had died. One in a ski accident, one of cancer. And you know, I think until that moment, death just wasn't really on mine or my teammates' radars. It felt distant. Life now was what mattered. Hockey, success, degrees, relationships. Well, I wonder if you were out one evening with friends from your sport, and as a conversation starter, you said, "So how's everyone feeling about death?" Might be a bit weird, of course, but I wonder, how do you think that conversation would go? Your generation, Gen Z, are apparently more comfortable talking about death than previous ones. A death no longer a taboo. On TikTok, death is often discussed openly, even humorously, strangely, in a subculture called Death Talk. Have you heard of it? Where creators use comedy approaches to talk about serious topics like end-of-life care, funeral arrangements, the realities of dying, all with the aim of making death a more approachable subject for people to discuss and process. But I'm very conscious as we come to a passage like this today that for some here, a death and loss, grief, fear won't feel distant at all. We'll be very close, very real, very hard right now, in your sport, in your family. Sir Chris Hoy, British cycling legend, 6-time Olympic champion, 11-time world champion, Scottish, of course, was interviewed by the Sunday Times in October about his recent terminal cancer diagnosis. He said, "As unnatural as it feels, it's nature, you know? We were all born and we all die, and this is just part of the process." Death, just part of the process. Of course, it's totally understandable, admirable, that he is trying to find the good in it all, so brave to speak out, it really is. But a healthy, 6-time Olympic champion, successful commentator, father of 3 young children, getting diagnosed in his 40s with a terminal illness, just part of the process. A teammate suddenly dying in the mountains doing something they love, just part of the process. Someone in the darkest, harrowing of valleys feeling the only way out is to take their own life, just part of the process. Death is a tragedy. Families plunged into deep grief like the sisters in our story tonight. Feelings and emotions which at times feel unbearable that never really go away. No, death is not just part of the process. It is the enemy to life itself. Death was not there in God's good creation in the beginning, and it won't be there in the new creation to come. It is the utterly devastating consequence to humanity's rejection and rebellion against God. And it should scream to us, wrong, broken. Chris Hoy was right when he said it feels unnatural. Our friends feel it. Oh, the hockey club felt it back then. We feel it now? Why all the suffering, Lord? Why all the death? Jesus, the good shepherd, the light of the world who gives life. It's so great to be at something like this, isn't it? Chatting, playing, praying, singing together. Last night, I say it, we heard you at midnight, singing together songs like this. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. But in reality, as we go and as we get back up there in our teams and our clubs, we find so much disbelief, don't we? Doubt, questions, and it's hard. It can be really hard to keep believing. So how kind God is that he would give us stories like this one today, where the whys and the doubts, the wrestles of the Christian life aren't pushed to the side like they're shameful or embarrassing, but are pastorally, lovingly engaged with head on by Jesus as we meet two sisters grieving the untimely, unnatural, you might say, death of their brother Lazarus. So have your Gospels open. We're going to look again together at the great I am in action. Scene 1, verse 1. Lazarus is ill, but you see, he and his sisters know the Lord. They sent word to Jesus. Verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus knows them by name. Jesus is their good shepherd. So it's surprising when in verse 6, Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill and decides to stay where he was 2 more days. Did you spot that? Surely it should read, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he went straight away. Jesus loved them, right? Didn't he care? Wasn't he bothered about Lazarus? Instead, verse 4, look with me. Jesus said, this illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. For God's glory, he delayed. And verse 14, for the sake of your unbelief, he delayed. In other words, what Jesus is going to do, having waited for Lazarus to die before going to them, is going to show God's glory in Jesus in a way that they wouldn't have seen if he'd just gone and healed him. It's going to show the greatness, the power, the authority of the great I am, the glory of Jesus as the true life giver in a way that they wouldn't have seen if he'd just gone and healed him from the illness. Now, Jesus is not an egomaniac wanting to put on a big show. He's a loving good shepherd. He knows the hairs on our head, remember? And he knows the doubts and the questions in our heart. And he wants to help us in our wobbles, to lead us through our unbelief, to strengthen us where we feel weak. And the disciples' faith at this point certainly appears a little flaky. Verse 8, they're scared. Scared of being stoned. Verse 12, they misunderstand the metaphor of Lazarus being asleep. They've not yet got Jesus fully. They need their faith muscles, their muscles of belief to be stretched. And we do too through this. Wobbly, shaky belief is a normal part of the ordinary Christian life, especially when we're still in the middle of a story of suffering and grief like Mary and Martha are here. Their brother was dying. Jesus didn't show up like they asked him to. See Martha, verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary, verse 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, why weren't you here? And the crowd feel it too, verse 37. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Mary and Martha, they weren't unbelievers. They weren't skeptics. They knew Jesus. They'd seen what he'd done to the blind man's sight. They were his friends. He was their good shepherd. But they didn't know what we know now. they had not seen fully the glory of Jesus as the great I am, the glory of Jesus as the life giver, the death defeater. They didn't get it, not yet, but soon they would. You know, sometimes as Christians in sport, I think we can approach our faith a little like we do our sport. How am I performing? Am I out believing her in this test of suffering? Will he keep believing if the worst happens? If I got the dreaded call, will I? But the normal Christian life that our good shepherd has called us into is not one of performing in our faith. We've heard that a lot these days, haven't we? It's not one of bringing him our good works, our unwavering belief. It is about daily, again and again, seeing and believing that Jesus, the great I am, has come into our dying world, has come for you, for me, has come and opened our blind eyes to see the glory of Jesus, and he graciously came to them. Scene 2, verse 17, Jesus comes. Jesus arrives on the scene in Bethany. Lazarus, now dead for 4 days, his sisters and their many friends deep in the trenches of grief. But look again at what he does. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved. The original meaning of the words used here describe an almost aggressive sounding grief, the kind of cry that is filled with groans and screams that make your face go red and blotchy or wet with snot. It's meant to be quite shocking. Death is not just part of the process for Jesus. Jesus is not playing a game with Lazarus. He is deeply moved by his death, pained by Mary and Martha's loss. He cares. He knows. He loves. He sees the suffering and death in our lives, in the world, and he weeps. He weeps with us. This is so precious. Because even though, and we will see, that Jesus has a bigger purpose here for his glory, for our good, our belief, despite that bigger purpose, sometimes in the suffering and pains of life, all we can take, all we can hear is Jesus wept. But there is more to the comfort of Jesus than just empathy and compassion. Jesus is on a mission, a warpath to destroy death completely. See his words to Martha, verse 25, and they'll be on the screen. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. And then, final scene, verse 40, let's see what he does. Verse 40, Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Take off the grave clothes, let him go. Amazing, isn't it? So instant, just 3 words. If you ever come as a leader at one of our Sports Plus camps, and please do, and if you have the job of raising young people from their sleep, especially on Thursday or Friday, some of you have been those young people, you will find how hard it is to do that. Young person, come out. Tends to have little to no effect. But Jesus here, Jesus has the power to make a dead man come out. Jesus, the good shepherd, who knows his sheep, who calls them by name, who calls Lazarus by name, the good shepherd who gives life. Remember where we started, John 8, verse 12, and it's on the front here. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. 25 times in John's gospel so far, life has been mentioned. And now here, Jesus puts his money where his mouth is. He proves it. He does it. Lazarus walks out of darkness, the darkness of the tomb, the darkness of the grave, the darkness of the cloths blinding him around his face. He walks out of darkness into the light of life. And the transformation of Lazarus here from death to life is almost a comedy scene, isn't it? As he walks out, still wrapped and face covered. I'm sure at Death Talk could have a field day with this. Actually, it would be really great if Death Talk got hold of this. Because this miracle is not just a sign for them back then, it's a sign for us now. A sign that we might believe that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life. A sign pointing us forward to the rest of John's gospel. Read on, as the glory of God will be revealed over the next few chapters, as the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, only to take it up again. By his death and resurrection, Jesus will ultimately win for all who believe life. Life in all its fullness. Life eternal, in the light of his glory, living forever. Do you believe this? Do you? Do you trust the good shepherd when he speaks tenderly, lovingly, powerfully into your life story, your identity story, into your story of suffering, into your story of pain and death? Probably the most faith-strengthening times in my life, when my muscles of belief have most grown, have been seeing close believers trust in and continue to follow their good shepherd in the face of death. There's been a few of these within Christians in Sport over the years, and perhaps you'll have stories of your own to share. Heroes of the faith, saints are gone before us. But a standout for me personally was my lovely mother-in-law, Moira. So kind, so fun, a Scottish from Ayr. I couldn't understand everything she said. I'd never met someone like her before. She never washed her own hair. I've actually wondered if this is a bit of a Scottish thing, but every Friday, not the not washing your own hair, sorry, but every Friday she went to the hairdressers for a wash and blow dry. As she knew all the football scores, she loved sport. She was terrified of cats and lifts, which I wish my husband had told me before one of our first meetings when I suggested we took the fast glass elevator up a 40 floors of a London office to see a view of the city. At least there were no cats in the lift. But very sadly, at just 62, cancer got a grip of my lovely mother-in-law, and we quickly watched her fade. She lost her lovely hair, she needed a wheelchair to get around, and eventually she spent most of her days in bed. Dying is cruel to watch up close, you know, the way the body and the mind fails. But dying, believing in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, that is beautiful to watch up close. She believed in Jesus. Oh, she feared cats and lifts, but she didn't fear dying. And I realize this is not everyone's story, and that can be very painful and challenging to us even to share the gospel more urgently. But it was beautiful to see her trust in her good shepherd, who knew her, who could lead her to safety, who could call her by name out of death into glorious life, just like he did 2,000 years before when he stormed into a graveyard in Bethany and called a four-day-old corpse to come out. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? She believed you, Jesus. And on the 10th of October, around midnight, as we sat around her bed, Moira Murdoch, she slipped into the loving arms of her Saviour. And she is now with him, her good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, for her, for me, for you. Nothing is more precious. Nothing matters more than the gospel in the face of death. Nothing matters more than the gospel fact. You know, one day we will all face death. Our friends in our sports clubs, however alive, successful, fine they may be or look or feel now, one day, and it could be so sudden, one day they too will face death. Oh, that they might see the glory of Jesus before that day. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die, will come out of the darkness of death, rise again into a new body, into a new creation, find a wonderful home with the Lord forever, safe and secure forever, safe and secure with Jesus. Death is not just part of the process. And whilst, you know, there are no neat, easy answers to the whys, we have real comfort and hope in Jesus, the great I am. So imagine one day soon you are out with friends from your sport, sharing life, and the conversation does move to death. Wouldn't this be a great story to tell? We have a wonderful gospel full of the power and grace and love and glory of Jesus to strengthen our faith, yes, like he's done these 3 days, but also to share with others, to go and make disciples, to be bold, to speak of the good news of Jesus that our sports friends too might believe and find life in his name. The good shepherd has not yet called all his sheep. John 10, thanks last night. The good shepherd has not yet called all his sheep. There's more, many, many more sheep in the world of sport. He will call by name. Let's show them Jesus. Let's take them Jesus together. He is the light of the world who gives life. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He is the resurrection and the life, the great I am. Do you believe this? Let's just take a minute of quiet reflection and then we'll sing together.